Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates, text number 2. Itahi purushasyeha Vishno pado pasarpanam Yat esha sarabhutanam Priya atma atmeshvara sarit. Yata, in order that he indeed purushasya of a living entity iha here Vishnu of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, para upasarpanam, approaching the lotus feet. Yet, because Esha, this Sarabhutanam of all living entities, Priyaha, the dear one, Atma Ishvaraha, the master of the soul, the super soul, Sarit, the best well-wisher and friend. Purport. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvalokam ihishwaram suridam sarvabhutanam kyatvamam shantim richati. The sages, knowing me is the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Simply by understanding these three facts, that the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the proprietor of the entire creation, and that he is the best well-wishing friend of all living entities, that he is the supreme enjoyer of everything, one becomes peaceful and happy. For this transcendental happiness, the living entity has wandered throughout the universe in different forms of life, in different planetary systems, but because he has forgotten his intimate relationship with Vishnu, he has merely suffered life after life. Therefore, the educational system, the human form of life, should be so perfect that one will understand his intimate relationship with God or Vishnu. Every living entity has an intimate relationship with God, relationship with God. One should therefore glorify the Lord in the adoration of Shantarasa, or revive his eternal relationship with Vishnu as a servant in Dasyarasa, a friend in Sakyarasa, a parent in Vatsalyarasa, or a conjugal lover in Madhuryarasa. All these relationships are on the platform of love. Vishnu is the center of love for everyone, and therefore the duty of everyone is to engage in the loving service of the Lord, as stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavatam 3:25-38. Yesha maham priya atma sutascha sakya guru sarid daivam ishtam. In any form of life, we are related with Vishnu, who is the most beloved, the super soul, son, friend, and guru. Our eternal relationship with God can be revived in the human form of life, and that should be the goal of education. Indeed, that is perfection of life and the perfection of education. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and well-wisher of all other living beings. As mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's purport, tasyaiva heto priyate te kovido yad labite yad parita te labite sukhavat anyutak sukham kayena habir ramasa. That all of the entities are wandering in this material universe, ultimately looking for happiness. And there are 8,400,000 species of life, and they give us certain happiness, so-called happiness in the material world. And there are so many different planets, and they all have their different grades of happiness. And here we are, according to the verse, Tasyaiva Heto Prayate Te Kovido. We've been wandering up and down since time immemorial looking for happiness. And we're still here, because obviously we haven't found it yet. Until, well, the point says that even if we don't look for happiness, we're going to get it anyhow. Material happiness. Just like no one is looking for misery, but somehow or another, still it's coming. No one gets up in the morning thinking, what can I do for my misery today? I'm too happy. Everyone thinks, what can I do for my happiness? But that happiness comes and the misery comes also without even looking for it. Here it mentions the secret that we have to get out of the modes of material nature. There are three modes, sattvam, rajas, tamayiti, guna, prakriti, sambhava, mahabaho, dehi, dehinam, avhiyam. There are three modes of material nature consisting of goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with those modes, he becomes conditioned by them. Currently, we're in, as long as one is not self-realized, then one is subjected to the modes of material nature. And as it says in the mode of ignorance, we believe that we're the proprietors. That's called illusion. Now, even from the point of view of what are we proprietors of, now, 5 minutes ago, this world was completely different. So whatever we thought we were proprietors of has changed. Even our very dear and near body has changed in that 5 minutes. So what happened to the object that we thought we were owning? It disappeared. And this present body we're in and everything else here will disappear. Everything's coming and going, appearing temporarily and then disappearing. And what is it actually? If we examine it, it's mostly, according to the scientists at least, 99.9% is space. We're thinking ourselves through the prior of space. This is my space. Actually, when the space is good, it's called sukha. That's su means good, and ka means space. So when our space is good, we call that happiness. When there's some space in the body, when things are flowing nicely in the body, that's called sukha. And when things get clogged up, that's called dukkha, bad space. Makes bad noises also. When there's bad space, there's bad noises come out. So, we're looking for sukha, for good space. But that's all it is. It's space. And some of the space we designate as earth, some of it is water, some of it is fire, some of them is air, and some of that is ether. But it's just combinations of different elements that we've identified ourselves as. Some of them is desirable, purusha, prakriti, stohi, bhunte, prakriti, jangunai, karna guna sangosya sat asad yoni janmasu. The living entities in this material world are Purusha Prakritisto Hi. This follow the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature, thus they meet with both good and evil amongst the various species. So following the modes of nature, sometimes we're meeting with what we call good, and sometimes evil. Just like if you read the newspapers, they have their idea what's good, and they have their idea what's evil. And they're trying to convey that to you. This is good, and this is evil. We're good, and everyone else is evil. This is the... Even in Slovenia here, when you go to their parliament, they have these murals. And there they have the history of Slovenia. And we're in Slovenia... You're the good guys. And the people who are trying to suppress you and exploit you, they're the bad guys. As if no one's trying to exploit you anymore or repress you, because you're actually the good guys are the ones who tried to repress you and suppress you, and they didn't get away with it. Those are the bad guys. And we're the good guys because we're the ones who got suppressed and exploited. And nowadays, there's no more repression and exploitation because the good guys won. Until they put the next mural up and you find out the so-called good guys were the ones who were repressing you and exploiting you. They haven't put that mural up yet. But the material world is, there's not such, no such thing as good and bad because the very material existence is bad. How can you say there's good old age? Does anyone have good old age? I'm looking forward to old age because my old age was going to be good. My disease is special because I have a very nice disease. I have a very scientific sounding disease, so everyone appreciates my disease. Wow, you got that disease? I wish I got it. Don't worry, bro. It's just now coming. And what about death? As I always say, no one says, we say happy birthday to you, but we never sing happy death day to you. No one's singing that. So, but these are the things, as soon as you give birth, as if there was a happy birthday. Has anyone ever seen a child being born? All smiles. Wow, what a nice day. Is there a cake for me too? No, they try to get the child to cry, so they smash it. Ah, all right. Welcome. Don't worry, you know, this is the first of many. This is your happy birthday. Let me back in. This is horrible. But that's what happens when we accept the modes of material nature. But no one thinks like that. As a matter of fact, if everyone thought like that, then everyone would be renounced, and there wouldn't be any economic development, and there'd hardly be any sense gratification, and the whole material world would be useless. So, therefore, Krishna allows us so kinds of illusion. That's Maya's specialty. She's the main propagandist in the material world. Don't worry, it was bad before, but I got a plan. Don't worry, old age, disease, and death. No, the scientists will take care of that. Just give them a few more $1 billion and everything will be all right. Just now coming. You're going to take a pill and live forever. You'll not only that, but you'll grow younger every day. You'll look in the mirror and say, my God, I'm so young. Yes, I was 5. Now it looks like I'm 3. I hope I don't disappear. So this is the promise, but it doesn't happen. So the fact is that in the mode of ignorance, we think with ourselves to be the proprietor. So that's quite strong. It's not that we just, today I don't think myself a proprietor. No, we so much identify ourselves with this body that if anything goes wrong with it, then we're in complete panic mode. And if anything goes right with it, We're thinking I'm on the top of the universe. Even Brahma can't compete with me. And then we're so much attached to being the proprietor that we have one eraser for a pencil, we can't find it. We're spending the whole day looking for it. My eraser, it was my eraser. Where is it? It had a nice cute picture on it. I can't live without it. It's like a baby. The baby's, you know, you put your finger on the baby, it immediately closes in on it. You can't take it out. It's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. Anything that gets, it touches it, the baby will decide, hey, no, it's mine. Oh my God, let me, you broke my finger. It's mine. Give it back to me. And when we get over that a little bit, education means to get into the mode of passion. Just like when I went to India, because they weren't educated in 74 or something. They weren't educated in passion so much. So people just got to the airport and noticed that everyone was just standing around doing nothing because there's nothing to do. But then they got education. It's like Poland, when I went to Poland in 1990. There's nothing for people to do. There's nothing to buy. So if there's nothing to buy, you have nothing to do. You just kind of pick some apples off the orchard and sit around and talk about the apples. But then freedom came, the European Union, bringing in all kinds of products so you can work 24 hours a day to buy them. All valuable things like, you know, I can't mention anything, that's television set, iPhones, smartphones for stupid people, computers, electronic items, and then the possibility to visit the holy places like London and Paris. And then people just work and work and work in order to get these things because this will make them happy. But if you go to Poland, you go to India, they're not any happier. They're less happy than they were before. Before the air was clean, the food was good, people had nice relationships because they weren't thinking how to exploit each other so much. There's nothing to exploit. If you pick someone's pocket, the only thing you get was their pocket. There was nothing in it. But now they're envious of each other. Oh, you have two phones and I only have one. And therefore the relationships are not so pleasant. The air is not so pleasant. The water is not so... Nothing's as pleasant as it was before. And that's progress. Because now they have the idea that they're more of a proprietor and there's something to enjoy. Now they have a little, you know, this, whatever their phone is, and they can spend some time killing things on the phone. Take their frustrations out. Or, if you're really advanced, you can see things that you're not supposed to see on the phone, too. Although nowadays, no one knows what you're supposed to see and what you're not supposed to see. So this is called progress, the mode of passion. I am the enjoyer. And when after one gets frustrated from trying to control things and seeing that one can't enjoy, then one kind of renounces everything and tries to get into goodness, hopefully. Goodness means that I accept there's nothing going on and the less going on, the better. People work so hard. People make money and then they use the money to go out to get a house in the country. And the people in the country, they go into the city to make money so that eventually they can get a house again in the country. So they can actually hear themselves think. That's called peace. They're working so hard to get some money, so-called money, economic advancement, and then they spend their extra money going to a meditation class. So they can pacify their minds for all the agitation they got from trying to make money. Or as it says, when one is young, he sacrifices health to get money. And then when he gets old, he sacrifices money to get health. So this is modern education, modern arrangements. And what does Chanaka Pandit say? Matrivat paradareshu paradwareshu losravat atmavat sarabhuteshu yakpashiti sapanditaha. Now, as it says here, if one is a spiritualist, he can recognize Krishna. And therefore, by recognizing Krishna as the real enjoyer, the real proprietor, and real friend of everyone, he can become Krishna conscious and actually find real happiness, real bliss, permanently. But if one is not on that level, at least one should try to become a human being. That's called material education. But nowadays, there is no material education. Because material education, according to Chanaka Pandit, was matrivat paradareshu, paradwareshu losravat, paradwareshu losravat. To see everyone's property is like garbage in the street. That if I get this property, I'm not going to enjoy more. I'm not going to become happier. It's not mine. As a matter of fact, this proprietor comes with the false ego. As soon as we think ourselves a proprietor, we have to get a false ego along with it. And that false ego binds us to material energy and causes us to suffer whatever position or situation the material body is in. Krishna bahir mukha boga vanchitare ikatastat tare japatidare. That as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then the material nature will put us into the material concept of life. And of course, people are in the illusion that we have a good illusion. We have a good material concept of life. We're living in a civilized country. People here are all happy. They're all enjoying. They're going to live forever here. No worries. This is the ideal place. So if you go downtown, you'll see everyone's dancing in the street. As soon as the devotees are dancing down there, everyone says, yeah, that's right. Everyone dances with us because they're all in the mood of dancing and chanting and singing. No, actually, practically everyone is morose, worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. They know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day. They're all going to have to leave their bodies and leave everything behind. Everything that they worked so hard for to become happy, they're going to have to leave behind. And who they don't know where they're going. So everyone's in anxiety. So we don't accept even the Vedic principle, not being envious of others and their possessions, thinking that if I was a millionaire, I'd be happy. And then the millionaires thinking if I had $100 million, I'd be happy. People with $100 million, they're thinking if I had $1 billion, I'd be happy. Or as Howard Hughes, the richest man in the world, some 50 years ago, or maybe less, it was 40 years ago, he had $15 billion, which is like $150 billion nowadays. So he was the richest man, and they asked him, sir, now that you have all this money, you have all these billions of dollars, what do you want? He said, I want more money. He was afraid, I only have $15 billion, something could go wrong, maybe I won't get my chapati tomorrow. I'll feel secure when I get my other $15 billion. So we're thinking, I'm not satisfied with my present circumstance, therefore I need a different one. So everyone, stane stita shuti gitam tanuvang munopir. Therefore we can't hear the shuti because we're dissatisfied. But they tell me something, how I can improve my material circumstance. And then I'll actually have peaceful, I'll be peaceful when I get what I want. And then I can actually hear the Shruti. I can hear the Vedic wisdom. Right now I'm agitated. I'm disturbed. I need something. I'm lacking something. Therefore I can't hear with attention. And then you're asking me to give up what I have and engage it in Krishna's service? No, Krishna should give up what he has and engage in my service. That's what I want. So in the mode of ignorance, everyone is disturbed. In the mode of passion, one is also disturbed. In the mode of ignorance, one is so disturbed, one doesn't even realize he's disturbed. When we're so disturbed, one can't even doesn't have the intelligence to understand how disturbed one is. It's like you go on the street and you say, "Excuse me, sir, could I show you this book?" And you go, "Oh, you disturb me." As if the person was 100, you know, so peaceful before you you stop. No, they didn't realize how disturbed you are, but now that you brought it to their attention, now they think they're disturbed. And the mode of passion, they're also disturbed, but a little bit less. Mode of ignorance, one is so disturbed, he doesn't know he's disturbed. And the mode of passion, one realizes what one is disturbed about. All the things he wants. Give me this, give me that too. And in the mode of goodness, one is not so disturbed. So in the mode of passion, and what is this disturbance? Matrivat paradareshu. In the material world, everyone is looking at each other. Maybe I can enjoy with you. But according to the Vedic culture, that every lady except one's mother should be seen as one's wife. Oh. Well, that's the modern. The Vedic culture is every lady except for one's wife should be seen as one's mother. And similarly, every lady is supposed to see every man except for a husband to be like her son. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. Well, you're my mother, but I think you're my lover. Wouldn't work. Because nowadays, it's all confused. We wouldn't have, you know, if you say that, people say, well, you know, actually, not. I see every lady. It should be just like, well, you know, anyhow, it's all confused nowadays. Anything goes. Man, woman, dog, cat, doesn't even have to be alive anymore. Everyone is beautiful. But that's the Vedic culture. It all comes down to sense gratification. Of which sex life is the primary sense gratification, which includes all the others. If you have nice sex life, then you get children to grow up and guard you and protect you and take care of, love you in your old age when you're old and ugly. They still love you. Otherwise, who's going to love me when I'm old and ugly? Because nowadays, they put them in old home. When you become old and ugly, they put you in an old age home with all the other old and ugly people. And no one loves them either. And then you get your house, and you know, you can cook whatever food you want, and you know, you can sleep wherever you want, and etc. So many. So this is, it's all centered around that. Everything else is paraphernalia. It's the paraphernalia for love in the material world. So one can overcome those two modes, ignorance and passion. One is realizing that actually sees that every lady except for my wife to be like my mother, or every man except for my husband to be like my son, and sees everyone's property to be like garbage in the street, then one can actually begin to see all living entities, and one could become a lady or a gentleman. Instead of trying to exploit each other, one could actually look at each other in the terms of, how can I help you? So that's called the mode of goodness in the material world. Then one can actually come to the platform of hearing stane sita. One will be satisfied in whatever arrangements Krishna has made for us, according to our karma, and then one can hear how to engage one's body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. That's called education. Otherwise, then, minor education makes one more lusty, more greedy, more angry, and the result is, like in America, now they're burning down the country, all the educated people, because they've become educated. They will become more violent, more envious, more greedy, more lusty. And that's the result of so-called modern education. And if one doesn't see that, thinks, oh my God, they're so educated. Look how they lit that Molotov cocktail and burned down that building. Wow, They really learn the science of physics and chemistry. I really admire them. Why don't we burn down a few buildings here too? So that's because people have become crazy. Because ultimately they've lost Krishna. Itavidu swarthakitim vivishnu darashaya ye bahya arthamanina. Because they lost Krishna, they become mad. And because they're following other mad people, simply they're going to create more problems. That's all. There's no solution except for recognizing that Krishna is the real friend. And we follow Krishna's instructions, then we'll realize that Krishna actually is giving us all this energy so we can utilize it in his service and actually become happy. We can play around with the energy in Krishna consciousness and therefore make Krishna happy, and we'll become happy too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
We're laughing at the people who are still pursuing material development.
And they're laughing at us for not doing it.
Yeah. But
reciprocation.
On the other hand, it seems so obvious to us that this is not a proper pursue in life, pursuit. But we as devotees still somehow do it also. Where does this duplicity come from?
Well, we're aspiring to become devotees. Devotee means one is in love with Krishna. We hardly know Krishna. We hardly experience Krishna. But to the extent that we do, then we make some progress towards becoming a devotee. First, we have to get out free from these anarthas before we can actually begin the real process of devotional service, actually enter into devotional service. But the process is so nice that by following it, we gradually become free from these anarthas and gradually become eligible to actually perform real devotional service. So, for the materialists, they're not conflicted. Because they're animals. An animal like a tiger, when he sees a lamb and jumps on it, he doesn't think, oh my God, my mother said I should be a vegetarian, but I just can't control my senses, I'm so hungry, you know. I know this lamb belongs to some mother and she'll feel bad, but God, I just can't control my senses. What can I do? Ah, it tastes good. A little raw, but anyhow, I never learned how to cook. So the lion is not conflicted. Tiger is not conflicted because whatever comes to its mind, it just follows with its senses. Its intelligence and its mind are all harmonious with each other. But if you become a devotee, before we're a devotee, we're also probably not so conflicted. At least most karmis nowadays, they have no brain, they have no intelligence to be conflicted. You know, if they see something, they just want to enjoy it. Of course, human beings have a tendency to more become conflicted than animals, because human beings, they can only enjoy so much. But animals, they follow their nature, and therefore they generally don't, except if they become domesticated. Like a dog. A dog will generally, in the wild, an animal will only eat what it needs. But by bad association with human beings, then they'll eat too much. They can kill themselves by eating too much, like their masters do. So the animals generally, even though they're following their senses, but they're restrained by nature. So a lion will have sex life once a year to produce children. But if you tell that to a man, you're an animal, you should become an animal like a lion. And he said, well, yeah, I want to become a lion. But you only have sex life once a year. No, I don't want to become a lion. Is there something better? What about a pigeon? Yeah, that sounds good. That's what I want. Pigeon. Yeah, that's the form. So the pigeons are also not, they just follow their nature. But the human beings, they have unrestrained mind and senses because they lose their intelligence, but their bodies and minds are not capable of unrestricted sense gratification. Therefore, they suffer as a warning that you're going to get yourself into trouble. But they try to deny it. They take painkillers and this and that. But when you become a devotee, you're even more restricted, theoretically. But now their mind and senses are still wanting to enjoy, and we have some intelligence saying, that's not a good idea, you'll get sick, or you'll feel sorry, or whatever. But the mind says, no, just try it. This time will be different. Don't worry, I got my plan. So there's a conflict. We're conflicted. Unlike the materialists, they only get conflicted when they get sick, and then they cover it over if they can with their modern medicine. So they don't feel it anymore, so they can go on and enjoy to the end of life. But we have a different standard, and therefore we feel conflicted. We think, well, if I wasn't a devotee, I could actually enjoy like all these other people are really enjoying. So, that's why. But at the same time, we have to make progress. Otherwise, if you're in the ocean, you're 1 inch above the ocean, you're treading water, but you don't ever try to get out of the ocean, you just keep on treading water. Eventually you'll get tired and you'll fall back into the ocean. So we have to make some spiritual progress and get over the things that we're desiring, that we're hankering for and lamenting about, and eventually purify our consciousness so we can actually become Krishna conscious steadily. Anything else? Adi Purusha on the internet? Hey. It's all right. We don't. I'll still eat breakfast. Even if there's no question. All right. Thank you very much. Grand Rishi Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.